Mishnah Yomis for Tuesday, the 29th day of Nisan, Tavshin Bei Dalad. Masechta Sota, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalad. Hoyu Malinosa. They would then take the Sota after being determined that she was a Sota that needed to be administered the waters by the local Beis Din. They would then take her up, Lebeis Din HaGodol Shebirushalayim, to the great Beis Din in Yerushalayim, the Beis Din of 71 judges that sat in the Lishkas HaGozis in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. How do we know that? The Gemara learns a Gzer Shava, a like expression. It says the word is Kol HaToira HaZois, and it says the word HaToira when it talks about a Zokin Mamre, an elder that rebels against the Beis Din. And they're just like there, it's a Beis Din HaGodol, it's the high court that he rebels against. So too, when it says HaToira, in the case of the Sota, she has to be taken up to the highest Beis Din of the land, the Beis Din HaGodol. Uma'imin alau, there in the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, they would warn her that she should admit that she was that she had sinned, if she sinned, rather than having to drink the waters. And they would do this with the same seriousness, kederech shema'imin aleidu nefoshes, with which they would administer the warning to edim, witnesses that had come to testify about a life and death matter, and that they should not give false testimony because they could kill a person by their testimony. In the same way, they warn the sota that if she is, in fact, has sinned, it's better she admits rather than bring herself into danger. And the Beis Din would tell her the following comments. Biti, my daughter, do not be embarrassed to admit your guilt if you are guilty. Harbe yainosa, because much is done, much damage is done by drinking wine. Harbe schokosa, much that damage is done by frivolity. Harbe yaldososa, much is done by kids, my children, by the youth. Harbe shchenim aroimosa, much damage is done by the influence of bad neighbors. Asi lishmoi hagadol, act in the name of God, shenichta bikdusha, that's been written in holiness, shalo yimach alamayim, to prevent the name of God being having to be dissolved in water. To stop this happening, admit your deeds, and then that'll stop the name of Hashem being dissolved in the water, and also it'll save you. And they would say before, and then say in front of her things that she didn't deserve to hear. He, b'chol mishpachas b'sabi, and neither she nor all the family of her father's house. We say that because certainly they would have come there as well. The Gemara says, what type of things would they tell her? They would tell her things about how previous generations did admit to things they did wrong. Stories of Yehuda admitting that he did make Tamar pregnant, and so forth. Mishnah Hay. Im Omra Tmeyaini, if the Sota admits and she says, yes, I did sin, Shoveres Ksubasa, she loses the Ksuba, she writes a receipt, I have received my Ksuba, in effect, and writes and gives it to her husband. The Yod says, and she leaves her husband with a get. Her husband has to give her a divorce. Why no further action is taken? Because there were no witnesses to her sin. So she's not chayiv misa, she doesn't get the death penalty. The Gemara explains that we're talking here in our Mishnah, in a place where people did not write ksuba. And how did a woman claim a ksuba? She would present a get, show her to get divorced, and she would get the money of the ksuba that way. For this reason, the only way that the husband has security that she can't come and claim again the ksuba is for her to write a receipt, and he'll have to keep that as a proof of payment or a proof that she doesn't get a ksuba. But in a place where they do write ksubas, there's no need for a receipt to be made. All that needs to happen is the ksuba that is held by the wife would then be torn up, so she cannot claim anything from her. There would be no need to write a shofar anymore, no need to write a receipt. V'im omrot tahorani, but what happens if after all the warnings of the court, she still stands firm and will not admit that she sinned? Malinosa, they take her up, l'shar ha-mizrach, to the eastern gate, sha'al pesach shar Nicanor, that's in front of the gate of Nicanor, the Nicanor gate. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were two gates in the east. There was the outer gate on the entrance to Har Habayis, to the Temple Mount, that was known as Shaar HaTachton, the lower gate. And then there was the upper gate, or known as the Shaar Nikanot, that went further in. And that's the entry from Ezras Noshim, the women's Azara, the women's courtyard, to Azaz Yisrael. Now, it was called Gate of Nicanor because of a benefactor who brought these copper gates from Alexandria of Egypt, and in his honor they called the name of this entry of this gate as the Gate of Nicanor. Now, why did they have to take her up to the eastern gate? Wasn't she already there? Didn't we say already that they'd taken her up to the Basin in Yerushalayim? So the Gemara explains that they would take her down and take her up from the whole Har Habayis. They would take her down from the whole Temple Mount, and that would do that in order to shake her confidence and get her to admit that she has sinned, if she sinned. Now, they took her up to this gateway, Shaar Nikanor, Sheshom Mashkim Es HaSotos, continues the Mishnah. That's the place that they would put the sota to stand, as they would give her to drink the waters that had the name of Hashem mixed in it or dissolved in it. And this is because it says in the Pasuk, V'hamid ha-kohen es ha-isha lifnei Hashem. The kohen shall make the woman stand in front of Hashem. And that was done at that entry point in the Gate of Nicanor, as people would come in and out to the Azara, to the Azaz Yisrael. Now, this hollow, this space of the Gate of Nicanor did not have the Kedusha of the Azara, did not have the same holiness of the Azara of the temple courtyard. And that was so to facilitate the entry of people that needed a kapara, that had needed a korban for themselves, which we call a mechusre kapara, who are not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. But they could enter the Gate of Nicanor because that was not sanctified, did not have the Kedusha of the Azara. So people who needed to have a korban brought for them, they would be brought there. And therefore, that would be the place that would bring people like Zovim and Zobos, people who needed a korban. Continues the Mishnah, Umataharin es hayoldos. That gate of Nicanor was also the place that a woman who had given birth would stand when they would bring the kohen would offer their korban. They had to stand by and watch it. Umataharin es hamitzaroim. They would also purify the mitzaroim, the people who were getting purified from tzaraas. With tzaraas is another reason, and that is because the kohen, the Torah says, the kohen has to make the person who's becoming clean, who's becoming tohar, to make them stand in front of the El Moed, but they can't stand in the Azara itself, in the temple courtyard, so they would stand in this opening called the Gate of Nicanor, and that's here where they would now bring the sota. V'choyen oiches b'vgodeh, the kohen would then grab her clothes by the neckline. Im nikru or nikru, if her clothes were ripped, they were ripped. Im nifrumu, if they were torn badly, or if the stitches became undone, then so be it, nifrumo, then they were torn badly. And the idea was to put her in a disheveled state, ad shehu magila megalis liba, until her chest would be revealed. V'soiser esara, and they would undo the braids of her hair. All this was done in an effort to make her look as disheveled as possible. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imhoya Libanoi, Rabbi Yehuda says that if her chest was particularly beautiful, if she was appealing, Lahoya Megaleo, he would not expose it. Imhoya Saranoi, also if she had beautiful hair, Lahoya Sasara, he would not undo the braids. The Gemara explains the reason of Rabbi Yehuda, and that is because he was worried that perhaps she will come out innocent. And if she will, then the young Kohenim who were hanging around in the Azara more than the rest of the people might have thoughts about her. And it doesn't, therefore, it was not appropriate to do that. The Chachamim, however, felt that nevertheless it's a mitzvah to embarrass her, even if she's Tahora, so to set an example for other women, as it says in the book of Yechezkel, Nivosru Kol HaNoshim. And that was in order to keep the modesty among the Jewish daughters.